WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Patricia McLaughlin usually comments for us on the latest trends and absurdities in fashion, but today her thoughts are on her garden.
3 years ago, I planted this old French rose in my backyard. Ever since, I've been waiting to see what it would look like. Its name is Souvenir du Docteur Jamin, and this morning it bloomed for the first time. It's exactly the shade of a Victorian love seat, a deep maroon, with frilled petals like silk velvet, and a thrilling fragrance. Honorine de Brabant came out the day before, producing one perfect rose striped bright pink on light pink, something that until this week I'd only seen in books. These are exciting days in the backyard. Hamburger Phoenix exploded across the back wall a few days ago. I counted 32 silky cherry red blossoms this morning. And there are four more climbers loaded with fat buds, ready to go any minute. I've been bragging about my roses to everybody I know this week, and now you, as if I were personally responsible for all this gorgeousness. Although, at the same time, I suspect most of it's luck. One thing you learn from gardening is how little control you really have. It's like life that way, only more so. You can do everything by the book, and still your daylilies can be eaten by slugs or your roses decimated by canker. Last year, for instance, most of these roses never even bloomed. I'd sent soil samples to the Agricultural Extension, and they said my soil had way too much phosphorus and nowhere near enough nitrogen. So I added a lot of nitrogen, which may be why I ended up with lots of green leaves and stems and no flowers at all. I'm never sure, though. You really need to be a scientist to understand the technology that's for sale at your local garden center, not to mention the exotic stuff you can order from the back pages of the gardening magazines. Fertilizers, soil flocculators, trace elements, a million kinds of pesticides, all sorts of weird potions guaranteed to make your tomatoes twice as big. Letting me loose with all that chemistry is like letting your kid drive the space shuttle. It's all magic to me. But there's something about gardening that makes magic seem plausible. Black magic, sometimes. I mean, as some perceptive person wrote in a magazine a couple of weeks ago, if your hobby is decorating and you've just got your living room exactly where you want it, you don't have to worry about coming home some night to find that your perfect new sofa has turned black and shriveled up and that the coffee table has been eaten by Japanese beetles. But that happens in the garden all the time. I've planted hundreds of expensive perennials in my backyard, which is only a little bigger than a number 10 envelope. The only reason there's still room for a few more is that most of them die. Some die right away. Some hang around looking depressed for a while and just don't come back the next year. Gardening, you're right up against Darwinian nature, red in tooth and claw. Aphids, red spiders, black spot, botrytis, scale, drought, poor drainage, wrong pH, wrong fertilizer, a million kind of weeds, slugs the size of dinosaurs. It's a jungle out there. Half the time you never know what hit you. Which makes these roses seem all the more miraculous. You buy a rose for around $7. It's a scrawny little thing. All gnarled roots and a couple of twiggy little canes. It looks like nothing. You dig a hole, toss in some peat moss, throw in the rose, water it in, ignore it for a couple of years, and then one spring, wham! It's the way the reward is out of all proportion to the investment that makes it seem like magic. The way you get something truly, astonishingly wonderful for practically nothing.
Patricia McLaughlin is a syndicated columnist who writes about style for the Philadelphia Inquirer magazine.